the land that is plentiful, where the streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. When I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness, blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. I am so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within, there at the cross where he took me in. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name.
Instruments, go to play for this next verse. Turn to your neighbor and say, good to see you. Good to see you.
Savior's feet, plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. What a wonderful change in my life has been since Jesus came into my heart. Now I sigh and I soul, which was long I have sought, since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart, floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roar. Jesus came into my heart, and my sins, which are many, are all washed away, since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart, floods of joy of my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart, I shall go there to dwell in that city I know. Since Jesus came into my heart, and I'm happy, so happy as onward I go. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus lifted me. I was lost in sin. Jesus rescued me. I was lost in sin. Jesus rescued me. I was lost in sin. Jesus rescued me. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus lifted me. Now I'm heaven bound. Jesus set me free. Now I'm heaven bound. Jesus set me free. Now I'm heaven bound. Jesus set me free. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus set me free.
Well, amen. That's good singing this morning. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We are blessed to have visitors with us this morning. Almost any given Sunday, we have either brand new faces or some return visitors, and we're glad of that. You're a first-time visitor. One of the ushers has probably already come by and give you a visitor's packet, and all we ask to do, you'll take that packet and just fill out the card that's in that packet, drop it on the in a plate as you go out on the back table there, or you can just leave it laying in your pew, and we'll pick it up from there. But we're glad you chose Bible Baptist, and those of you who have returned, this is your second or third time to visit us, when you're finally in a habit, and this is your new home, and we're glad. You might not have known that yet, but we already know that. We want you to be a part of Bible Baptist, and so we're certainly glad to have you here. I want to just continue to pray. The hospitals are kind of emptied out finally as far as our people go, but continue to pray for Ray and Geraldine. They have some significant struggles going on trying to recover from the flu, and then now Geraldine has pneumonia. Anyway, keep them lifted up in your prayer. There are others that we could mention, but by and large, we're doing pretty well getting people out of the hospital. But right now, we'll go ahead and go to the Lord in a word of prayer, and then we'll get right back to the singing. And I'll ask Gary Sackett if you'll lead us in prayer.
Amen. Thank you. May be seated.
God.
I pray for those that would be here today and going through difficulty in their life. I pray that you'd strengthen them. I pray that you'd encourage them. And God, I pray for those that might be here today that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior. And God, I pray that you'd open their hearts and that you'd draw them unto you today. And God, we know that in our land there's a lot of sickness going around, especially with schools and stuff, with the flu and stomach viruses and all those things. And Lord, I know we've got several in our church today that are home with those things. I pray that you'd comfort them and heal them, Heavenly Father. And God, I pray that you'd be with Brother Chris as he preaches to us today. I pray that you'd anoint him with your Holy Spirit. And God, I pray that you'd speak through him in a very powerful way. And Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you would meet with us. I pray that you'd convict. I pray that you'd comfort. God, I pray that we would feel your presence stronger than we've ever felt it before. God, today I pray that you'd be with our nation. I pray that you'd continue to bless it. God, I pray that if it'd be in your will, Lord, that you'd send us a good rain. We know that in the middle of the week we've got some small chances, but God, you could send a big rain, and God, how our land needs it so very much this time. God, I'm thankful for each one that you brought into your house today. And God, I pray that just for the next few moments that we'd concentrate upon what you have for us today. I pray that you'd do a work in our hearts and our lives that only you can do. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Would you stand with us, please?
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. His cornerstone, with solid ground, firm through the fiercest trial and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease, my comforter, my all in all, here in the lap of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless made, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I lay. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he arose again. And as he stands in victory, since curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death, this is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man, can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I stand. What love
could remember no wrongs we have done. Omniscient, all knowing, he counts not the sum. Thrown into a sea without bottom or shore. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. Praise the Lord, his mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. What patience, what weight as we constantly. What Father so tender is calling us home. He welcomes the weakest, the vilest, the poor. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. Praise the Lord, his mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. What riches of kindness he lavished on us. His blood was the payment, his life was the cost. We stood neath the debt we could never afford. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. Praise the Lord, his mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, sins there are many, his mercy is more.
Go ahead and be seated, and we'll have a word of prayer. Father, once again, we're thankful, Lord, that we can lift up our voices to you in praise, Lord, through these songs, that we can call upon you in prayer and seek you. We know, Father, that you hear our prayers. We're grateful for the Lord's Day. You give us a day a week that we can come into the house of God as a church family and worship you. Also a day of rest, a day of family time. We appreciate that you allow us, Lord, to have this maintenance day, so to speak, in our week, that we can be rejuvenated spiritually. And Lord, that we can come into the house of God and share in the family of God. And we are so pleased this morning, Lord, when we have visitors with us. We're always happy, Lord, and I pray that you'll bless them and let them feel at home and speak to their hearts as well as everybody else in this auditorium. We thank you for the young children that are in the back. Lord, our nurseries are just busting at the seams, Lord, with little babies, and we're so grateful, God. We thank you for the faithfulness of young couples that are seeing the importance of being in the house of God. And we pray, Father, that everything we do around here, Father, from week to week and Sunday to Sunday, Wednesday, that we always put your word at the center of things, that we'd always focus on hearing from the word of God. We know, Holy Spirit, you're in our midst. You live within each and every born-again Christian, and we ask, Holy Spirit, that you'd have your way, that you'd move amongst us, that you would challenge us and teach us the things that we need to know from the word of God. Time won't allow more prayer, Father, but we could pray all day. There's so many things to be thankful for, so many things to praise you for. But right now, we're just asking your blessing, Lord, as we go into the Word of God, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You'll turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. I didn't know David put a coat rack up here, but I didn't. I thought that's what that was for a minute. All right, Acts chapter 2. You know our Bible say in 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, "For the preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness, but unto us who are saved it is the power of God." Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 says, "The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword." The Bible says over in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So our Bible makes it very clear that the power and effectiveness of the church is in the word of God. There's no way around it. When scriptures are put at the center of things, then that congregation is going to see results. And there's no greater example of that than what we find here in Acts chapter 2. Before we read this text, let me give you a little bit of background and kind of describe the situation. At this point, Jesus has already been crucified. He's already rose again from the grave, and he's already ascended into heaven. His last words before his departure were found in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. He said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe whatsoever things I have commanded you." So he's saying, go out and carry the word of God, take the good news of the gospel, and go to the world. Now he expands upon that over in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 when he says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in both Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the world." And so there again, he's telling his church to be about his business and going around declaring to others what they know about him. And that's what a witness is. That's what a witness does. They testify about what they've seen, what they've heard, and what they've experienced. And so let's see how this church did. We're going to read in just a moment. Let's see how well they followed the instructions. Let's see what the results were. First of all, Jesus had promised that they would, that he would supply the power for this, okay? What he needed, what he was doing, saying there is that the Holy Spirit was going to come upon them. If you read early in chapter 2 of Acts, you'll read that he did indeed come upon them, and he began to indwell every believer. And then the Apostle Peter, he stood before the congregation there that were gathered, and he stood in their midst, and he began to preach the word of God, just exactly as Jesus had instructed them to do. And now we're going to read and see what happened. Let's see what the results of that was. We begin in verse 41. It says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking of bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Now that is a powerful church. When you read that, that was a powerful church. And we see that not only did they have huge evangelistic results in that 3,000 people came to know Christ that day, but there were a great many other things that were happening in their midst, which we're going to look at shortly. But before we do that, let me ask you this question. Why doesn't today's church have that kind of power? Why do the Christians that follow the same God not have that kind of power in their midst as this early church did? And really the answer to the question is we could have. We really could have. The ingredients are all still there. There's still a vast number of lost souls out there that need the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word of God has not changed. The Holy Spirit of God is the same, and he continues to dwell within believers, and he has the same power and effectiveness. So what's the problem? Is it that God has somehow fallen short? Well, of course not. We know that's not the case. Is it that the combination of these other things no longer works? The people of God, indwelled with the Spirit of God, declaring the Word of God, just can't do what it used to do? No, that's not it at all. Let me share with you a major problem we see today, and I want you to look at one word in verse 47. It says, "And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. In a great way, it boils down to what the meaning of the word added is, okay? When the scripture used the word added, it didn't mean that they accumulated more people to sit in the pews. It didn't mean that there were more names that could be added to the ledger or the church roll. It didn't mean that there were more people in town that could call that the church that they stay home from. And that's kind of the way it is it not today? Rather than what there used to be is what church do you go to, you say, what church do you stay home from? Because there are a lot of people out there, if we had to be honest, that have to say, that's the church I stay home from. And quite sadly, here's the deal, there's a lot of people that gripe and complain about the church they stay home from. And there's a lot of people that stay home long enough that they get mad that the people that the church, people from the church they stayed home from don't come check on them. And it goes on and on and on. Folks, that's the truth of what we're dealing with today. But the early church added. They added unto them. Watch this. Such as should be saved. Those were the additions to the church. That's what adds to a church. It's not somebody walking in the doors and begin to continue to come in and sit down. No, it's people who accept the Lord Jesus Christ and become born again believers, and that's when they become the family of God. That's when the power is added to the family. As the family grows and the family yields to the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God, their effectiveness grows. Salvation results in a heart change. There's no way around it. A heart change leads to lifestyle changes. A heart change leads to attitude changes. It changes the way we think. It leads to changes in our habits. Do you know why a lot of people struggle to be in the habit of going to church? In many cases, they're not born again. There are a lot of lost people in this world that have an interest in God, and they like the idea of God blessing them. They like the idea and the notion of going to heaven someday, but they've never come to the point that they've called upon the Lord Jesus Christ and been saved. So therefore, there's no life-changing power. And so it is not natural to want to be in church when you're lost. It's not natural to hunger and thirst after the Word of God when you don't know Jesus. It's not natural for the family of God to not be important to you. So if those are the people that are added to the church, then clearly that's not going to contribute to the effectiveness of the church. Now folks, churches that are filled with lost people are not going to change the world. Churches that are filled with lost people won't even change their community, okay? Now, I want you to understand, we should be inviting lost people to the house of God, okay? For the sake of getting them in the house of God and getting them under the sound of God's word, and that they might respond to the Lord Jesus Christ. And in that sense, we need to fill the pews with lost people. But what makes a church powerful is the saved. The ones that are indwelled with the Holy Spirit. Let's get back to our text. It says, he added unto them such as should be saved. Why is it that so few churches are experiencing salvations or conversions? Why aren't more people coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm told about days gone by when the altars of the churches used to be flooded with people responding to the gospel and coming to know Christ. There was a time when revival meetings would last from 7 to 10 days, maybe 2 weeks, and each service that would be more and more salvations, and the baptismal waters were stirred from week to week. And folks, I don't go back that far as a Christian, so that's not something I've witnessed or experienced, but they say that's the way it was. But what I have experienced is the main ingredient that brought those things to pass, and that's the Word of God. I want you to notice verse 2. It says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. The apostles' doctrine just simply means the Word of God. as it had been given to the apostles by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and by Jesus himself. Here's the deal. We dare not come together in the name of God and not have the Word of God at the center of things. You see how foolish that is? The Word of God, if you're in the house of God with the people of God, then this Word of God should be at the center of things. And it doesn't matter from the fourth grade Sunday school class to the youth department to this auditorium. Everything should revolve around the Word of God. I love being a pastor. There's no way around it. I enjoy helping people. I enjoy the Word of God. I like seeing lives turned around. I like being a part of something great, and God's church is something great. But there's a whole lot to leading a church. And I'm very aware of my limitations, okay? But as long as I have this book, as long as I have the living Word of God to guide me, I can do the job. Not because I'm smart, but I have the answers. I find my confidence from day one when I came here as a pastor. I find my confidence in thus saith the Lord. I've had friends over the years that are football coaches. And you guys know you go from hero to zero in a hurry as a football coach. And I said many times back when my kids were playing ball, I felt for those coaches. And they said, well, we're a lot like pastors. And now we met. I said, no, here's the deal. At the end of the day, I can open up and say, thus saith the Lord, and walk away from the situation because there's no argument. A coach can't do that. And folks, that's the privilege of having the Word of God. I don't say that arrogantly or overconfidently, but I don't have to wrestle with the answers to everything. We live in a confused society, an ever-changing moral landscape that for some people it's very hard to navigate. But to be real honest with you, I don't have a hard time navigating those waters. Do you know why? Because when it comes to the issues, I'm not at a loss. I have what the Word of God says. The subject of homosexuality, that's a hot button today. I don't have to struggle finding answers for that. God's already given the answers. Transgender problems, no problem to me. Thus saith the Lord. Killing unborn babies, God's not vague upon when human life begins. You stop a beating heart of a baby inside the womb or outside the womb, you've taken the life of a child. I don't struggle with that because God's very clear on those things. When we continue steadfast in the Word of God, it eliminates the problems around us. And it certainly eliminates the problem of not seeing people saved. A Bible believing, a Bible preaching, a Bible teaching church will see people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to notice what else they were strong in. Verse 42, he says, they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. As children of God, we are in this together. Families do life together. And we're a family of God here. We are a people of God that are united by the common denominator of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you're united in Jesus Christ, you're not quick to bail out. You're not quick to bail out and walk away. We're not quick to neglect the fellowship of the family. When you belong to a family, you stick to them. Last week, you guys, many of you, most all of you were here, and I talked about my family that sat right over here, and I have three sisters left and one brother, and we're very close. And we don't see each other, we don't even talk to each other that much, but we still love each other and we get along very well. And by the way, I appreciate y'all indulging me last week when I was able to take a moment to honor my mom on the piano, and that's just something that was special to me, and really more importantly was special to her, and that's why I wanted to do that. So thank you for that. But the truth of the matter is, as much as I love them, and they are my brothers and sisters biologically, for all practical purposes, this is my family. Amen. It really is. Amen. We're together all the time, and we love each other. We get along, and I like that. And I never want that to change. This is my family. And it was that way back in Clarendon at my home church 25 years ago. That was my family. In fact, in 1999, when I came here, I didn't want to leave my family back there. I had a hard time, especially coming here for you guys. I thought it was a bad trade, guys. We didn't have enough people here to start a fight, folks, and I've told you this before. We had so many people with funny names when we got here. We had Doc, Dub, Rooster, Bean, Corky. I said, Lord, I've joined the cast of a Disney production. We had all kinds of grumpies. And now I wouldn't take for you knuckleheads. This is my family. It's the family of God. And the song says, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. And I am. I've heard people say time and time again, and you probably heard it too, when they're going through trial and they're going through difficulty, I've heard many times people say, I don't know how others do it without a church family. And boy, truer words have never been spoken. We're not without problems. The church is made up of human beings, and so as long as there are human beings, there are going to be some hiccups from time to time. But overall, we experience here something very special. It's family harmony. Look how well we weathered the pandemic of the COVID pandemic. Far from fragmenting our church, it drew us together. Everybody looked out for one another. We flew into action, and we began to minister to the outside community as well as minister to each other. And though we couldn't gather here for several weeks there the way we like to, still there's no. To my knowledge, there was no fragmenting took place. And we're still right back where we were, the family of God. I've got to move on. Verse 42 goes on, and it says, in fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. Think about this for a moment and let it soak in. You and I are children of God. We have the privilege of talking to the God of all creation anytime we want. And it's not so much the talking that's amazing. We all talk all the time, okay? It's the fact that God listens. That's the miracle of the whole thing. He hears our prayers because they're coming to Him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I, as children of God, are clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and so we're accepted in the presence of God with our voice anytime we pray as one of His children. It's hard to grasp that sometimes, but it's a fact. So here's the question, why do we not pray more? The early church continued in prayer. It was very much a part of their everyday life. I hate to admit it, folks, but I find time for a lot of things in my everyday life to the neglect of prayer time. Church family, if we want power upon our congregation, upon this body of Christ, we have to pray. Pray, pray, pray. Verse 43 says, it goes on to say, and the fear of God came upon every soul. We've talked about this many times, what the Bible means by the fear of God. It simply equates to the fact that you have such a reverence for God that you want to do right before God. It really boils down to holiness. You could easily say in verse 43, and they became holy. Now, when we hear that word holy, we tend to think of something you're just going around and with your hands folded and walking slowly and mumbling prayers or whatever. But holiness just boils down to one thing, just being set apart for God, doing the things that are right for God. The other word used that's kin to it is sanctification, being sanctified for God. And all it boils down to is all the fancy rhetoric or breaking down of the words makes no difference. It boils down to living a life that's right and pleases God. There's no limit to the power that God will bring upon his family when they're set apart to live right for him. We asked the question early on in the message, why are churches today no longer reaching people for Christ on any kind of a large scale? And the truth of the matter is, very honestly, many times we've tried to become like the world in order to reach the world. And that's a method that never works. If you and I try to put on a spectacle or whatever to appeal to the world, if we change who we are to try to be like the world, to draw them to us, okay, maybe you will get the attention of the world for a little while, but you lose the blessings of God. And I'd rather 10 to 1, 1,000 to 1 have the blessings of God than any kind of favor with man. What the world needs is a shining light. Something that shines brighter than the darkness that people are experiencing in this world. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Right before that, in verse 14, it says, "Ye are the light of the world." Verse 15 says, "Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick." You know what God's saying is, you're my child. You are to live right, do right, shine brightly in this world, and don't hide it. Don't put it away in order to appeal to the world. Don't shuffle your light into a closet somewhere or cover it with a shade where they can't see it. He's saying, let it shine. Let it shine. If we live like the world and we talk like the world and we go where the world goes and we do what the world does and we listen to what the world listens to, then we're not being a light. We're essentially sharing in the same darkness that the world lives in. Do you know what drew me to the church back home where I got saved at 21? I've told you somewhat of this testimony, probably numerous times, but there were some members of that church that were cowboys, and they had recently come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's the church they began to attend. And when with having a new relationship with Christ and getting into the Word of God and learning, these guys began to change. I happen to know these guys and had known them for a long time. I knew what was there before, and I could see what was there after meeting Christ. It was out with the old and in with the new. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." I was witnessing that in these cowboys' lives, and it impressed me. It showed me a light. And I was at a place in my life where I was tired of the darkness. You know, some modern churches boast in having Bible studies at clubs and sports bars. And the idea is that we'll go to where they are and bring the Word of God to them. Folks, think about that for a moment. Reducing the things of God to the level of college kids taking shots. That's not what God wants us to do. Holiness is shining into the world. Had one of those cowboys that were been a testimony to me, had they walked over to the pickup and reached over the tailgate and grabbed a beer and said, "Chris, come over here and let me talk to you about Jesus," As messed up as I was at that time, I would have seen through that. I would have had to walk away and say, no, I'm doing just fine, keeping my life messed up. If that's what you got to offer, I don't need it. But they didn't do that. They had taken care of that problem in their life. They, through Christ Jesus, had begun to change and become a light. And if you want to say it, it's not very fitting for cowboys, but they were holy. When I say not very fitting, it just don't sound right. Holy cowboys, okay? Holy cowboys. But they were. And it made an impact upon my life. And guess what? One Sunday morning, we had Sundays off, the only day of the week we had on. I had a half day on Saturday sometime. I went to church. Trisha's working at Dairy Queen. She walked to church. We had one vehicle. I mean, she walked to Dairy Queen to work, and I had one vehicle. I took it to church. And after church, I went in Dairy Queen, and I said, guess what I just did? She said, what? I said, I went to church. She couldn't believe it. Guess what? They were so nice to me at that church. They were so friendly and welcoming, and they knew who I was, and they knew how I was. I went back the next Sunday, and I got saved. That's the way it works, folks. The church being a shining light, the church having the Bible at the center of things, showing fellowship of serving together as a family, doing it in a harmonious way, praying together and living lives of holiness. And Brother David, you guys can come. And that's what's going to change the world around us. I'm going to ask you to stand. Maybe you're here this morning and you're one of those people I talked about that have been in the pew, but you've never given your life to Christ. You come because you have an interest in God. You come because you like the idea of God having blessings on your life. But you've never taken that first step of salvation for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me encourage you, friend. We love you being here, and we want you here every Sunday, whether you're saved or not. But we would love to see you turn your life over to the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's the starting point. All the rest of this would be just spinning of wheels until you know Jesus. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. God spoken to you about anything, you come this morning.
The Savior.